Happy Monday, all you beautiful radio listeners. I hope you are having a wonderful start to your afternoon, but let's check in with the most important man. Today, pinch hitting, Jordan Schultz. What's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? I'm a very, very happy pinch hitter today.
Yeah,
that's for damn sure.
I will tell you the timing of it when you have somebody filling in that is head-to-toe clad in Seattle Mariners gear.
Wish I could be getting into batting practice right now.
You do show up in Mariners gear, whether they're winning or losing, but I feel like this Monday feels a little bit better.
I'm wearing Mariners boxers, even.
I believe that. Do you have Mariners socks? I didn't see the shoes. Do you have Mariners shoes?
I've got blue shoes on,
okay.
But my Mariners socks are the long ones, and it's still hot out, so F that. I'm not going to do that for another week.
So you're not going all the way in, but you are wearing the boxers. I'm guessing they're not flannel if you're concerned about the heat. Before we get into what a weekend it was for Seattle sports fans, which you and I both fall under the category of.
Damn right.
There's a little update on the pickup. Now, you have claimed to be a P1 of this show.
Yeah.
You listen when you are not here.
When I am in the car, yes.
You've not joined in the pick'em for a couple weeks.
Oh, no.
I'm very, very disappointed in you, but there were 29 people that played. Right now, there are 3 people tied for 12 picks. So it comes down to the Monday night game. One of those people is Buck, our own Ryan Buckley.
Let's go, Buck.
He has the Baltimore Ravens. There is Jason H. has the Baltimore Ravens. And the third person is my 11-year-old nephew with the Detroit Lions winning tonight. So if the 3 of you are listening to the show and can hear my voice, you might want to tune in and keep track. Now, last week I got in trouble for not looking up exactly who everybody had. I made a guess. I was wrong. Rufio, there was an apology coming to you later in the show. But right now, Ravens for Jason H. and for Ryan Buckley and Brandoni sitting on the Detroit Lions.
Your cousin is probably a much
nephew.
Better picker than I am.
That's why
I don't want to get in when I'm not here, because I'm like, oh, should I do this? I suck too much. Everybody else is going to kick my ass.
Here's the other thing that I will say. The guy in last place is me. So tied with a listener, but I've got 7 picks right on the whole thing. I think I have the Ravens tonight, but who cares? Even if I get to 500, I am not good at it either. So play along. Have fun. Here's the funny thing is, even if you tried to pick them all wrong, you couldn't, because it's too hard to figure out who's going to be right. So it's just as unlikely that you'll get everyone wrong that you'll get everyone right. So hey, listen.
I'm going to fade myself.
Nobody has been worse at this than me. Of course, the prize for playing Take Your Pick is you get to come in and pick games with me and Rust, or whoever is producing on the Thursday. So we'll see tonight. We'll determine who gets to come in, call in, send in your picks to pick along with us for this week. Now, how did you, Mr. Schultz, how did you take in all the sports that were Seattle sports this weekend? How did you enjoy the games? Did you sit and watch every inning? Did you watch start to finish with the Seahawks? Because you are a Seahawks fan.
Yeah, more a Rams fan, but the Seahawks are close second. Yeah. My dad, as a kid, was a fan of the Rams when they were in Los Angeles. They moved to St. Louis. Doesn't make sense to people why I'm a Rams fan now. But they're back in LA, so it sort of does.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. here's my beef. It's not that you're sort of a Rams fan.
Okay.
It's that you're sort of a Rams fan and sort of a Seahawks fan.
Oh, it's like a Pac-12 fan for me, at least when the Pac-12 existed. I wanted teams that weren't playing Oregon to do well. And I feel like the region of football here in the West is kind of forgotten about. Everybody cares about sports in New York and Philly and Miami and Dallas. And when it comes to Portland and Seattle, people just don't, you know, really pay as much attention. So I want the success of the PNW. You know, that's where I'm at as a fan.
So if Oregon doesn't win, you want Washington to win? Is that what you're telling me?
Not now, but at the time. No, well, I just said in the world of the Pac-12,
I understand,
there was a...
But they're both in the Big Ten.
Well, now they're in a conference that actually is respected and matters, so the rivalry question doesn't necessarily, like, it's like, okay, I hope they kick their ass, because that doesn't matter to the status of the conference anymore. It did at one point. So, yes, at one point, yes.
I can track with your Pac-10, Pac-12, Pac-8 logic. I'm fine with that part of it.
Okay.
The NFL is a different animal. The NFL, the divisions, you're playing everybody twice. The NFL has very concise rules of how you get into the playoffs, of what you must do. When we get to the final week of the playoffs, you know if this happens, then this happens, then this happens, these two teams will play, these two teams will play in the playoffs.
Doesn't half the league makes the playoffs?
I'm fine with that. At least you know how to get into the playoffs. And it's less than half. It's more than half in the NBA. That's the one that's stupid. But that's
a
whole
14,
different thing.
Excuse me. My bad.
Listen, if you're going to give me a hard time as I'm trying to explain to you why you're wrong, then this is going to be a long show because I'm going to do it a lot.
Give me another couple hours then to argue with you, bro.
There have been too many times that you have had within this division across the board that the Seahawks have played the Rams three times and lost three times.
Mm-hmm.
They have played the 49ers three times. They have played the Cardinals three times in a season where you play them twice and then you end up bumping into them again in the playoffs. The rules are too set to kind of root for other teams in your division. You can root for a team in the other conference I'm okay with. So if you said that you were a Chargers fan, kind of, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
If you were kind of a Bengals fan, I'd be okay with that. If you're kind of a Chiefs fan, we might need to talk, but that's a whole other thing.
That's like being a Yankees fan, my God.
Yeah, the Chiefs, the Broncos, even Raiders were, I know that the Chargers were in that division, but they were never that good when the Seahawks were in the AFC West. So there's a whole bunch of things. But anyways,
yeah.
I have a hard time somebody being kind of a 49ers and kind of a Seahawks, kind of a Rams and kind of a Seahawks fan, just because they run into each other too many times. The Pacific Northwest thing for the Pac-12, the Pac-10, college football does not have rules.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to root for somebody, and it's all arbitrary, and they just make it up anyway. So you're like, I hope one of these teams does well enough that their resume exists where they can possibly get in. They're getting closer to having rules. The NFL's pretty airtight.
I'll give a quick reason on it, and I think it's just my fandom of the particular leagues. So college football, I love the NFL. I love any kind of football, but I think I root for college football a little bit harder than I do for NFL football. My most, like, if you had to say, Jordan, by passion, who are your favorite teams? It goes Mariners, Ducks, Blazers, like, and then the NFL behind that. So I guess on a particular Sunday or this Thursday, for instance, for the Seattle Seahawks, a Hawks game and a Rams game are both appointment viewing to me, although sure. I like good football. So now Raiders games with Ashton Janti, not necessarily this last weekend, but I want to see what Pete Carroll and Geno Smith and Ashton Janti are doing. But frankly, I like my local teams. And at the end of the year, the Super Bowl, it's just, I don't know. It's not to me as a big of a win as like the Blazers winning a title.
You have or the Ducks winning you have a title. The NFL in fourth, which I always feel like makes you an NFL fan, not a team fan.
And I think that's kind of what I'm saying.
That's fair. I'm picking up what you're putting down. If I had to rank, I would probably go Seahawks, Mariners.
Okay.
College football wouldn't even be in there. Blazers would be my top three.
It's funny you bring up the Chargers. I have a Justin Herbert Chargers jersey that is currently in my closet, the only NFL jersey of any player in the league right now that I have. So,
So you're not a Seahawks fan. Cool. Got it. We've got that
Shut up.
Settled.
Well, then by that barometer, I'm not a Rams fan either.
I don't disagree with that either. You can be an NFL fan without having a team. I think it's the one league that's the easiest to do that. There are people that are Major League Baseball fans, don't have a team. I'm sure there are people that are NBA fans. I get that you can do that. The NFL, the easiest thing to do. I lived in Vegas for a long time. Mm-hmm. You ask somebody, who's your team? You know what the response was?
Anybody?
What's the line?
I love that.
That was always the response. So
it was appointment viewing for me for Mariners baseball. Let's just put it, to answer your question quickly, it was on the couch watching all nine innings of those three games, because final nine games, the Mariners were literally tied with the Astros going into this series. If you're a fair-weather baseball fan, this is kind of when you turn stuff on. But if you're a diehard baseball fan like me, this is where it becomes appointment viewing.
I did not watch a second of Sunday Night Football.
Neither did I, sir.
Yeah. It was not, it's on a commercial break. We're going to switch over and see what happens.
That was no multi-screening.
Yeah, there was no multi-screening on Saturday afternoon when there was college football on. There was nothing. It was every inning of it. And I will say, speaking of your Rams, they did have me listening to the first quarter of the Seahawks game because I was going to my brother's house to watch Seahawks Mariners.
Yeah.
that Rams game, it looked like they were going to kill the Eagles.
Yeah.
And then the second half, flip their switch. I might have to start appreciating Nick Sirianni. I don't want to do that, but whatever adjustments he made at halftime, holy cow, they looked like an entirely different football team. That game roped me in, so then I left after the final kick was blocked and returned, which I'm sure primetime will get into blowing of the spread and everything that went into the gambling aspect of that game. But I had to stay and watch that. It just gripped me. And then I drove over in the 10 minutes it took me to get from my house to my brother's house. It was 21-0.
Yep. It's already done. I mean, then that's...
It was a great weekend for Seattle fans. And I think we will get into more of that when we get in to the Daily Buzz. But right now, we need to get to In Case You Missed It. All right, I said I didn't watch a ton of college football. If you didn't do the same, in case you missed it, the ACC fined Syracuse $25,000 and publicly reprimanded the school for faking injuries against Clemson, which was deemed unethical and contrary to the spirit of the rules. The Atlantic Coast Conference accomplished greatness.
That's really funny. That's their cheesy conference, like, what is it? Slogan,
yeah.
That we call it?
Yeah.
The Pac-12s used to be like the...
Conference of Champions.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
And do you know how many championships the Pac-12 won in football or basketball?
Possibly like...
Zero. They won zero. The Pac-12...
They have the most overall.
The Pac-10 won in basketball and football. The Pac-12... did not win a single championship. They were founded in 2011. After 2011, the team's still in there. But when they added Utah and Colorado, so with 12 schools, they won nothing of consequence.
That was a trick question, man. I'm like, John Wooden, UCLA?
That's what I mean. They were in what, the Pac-8?
They were the Pac-8, yeah.
There you go. In case you missed it, the University of Colorado's New Buffalo made her debut Saturday. Ralphie 7 took the field ahead of the Buffs matchup with the University of Wyoming at Folsom Field. The one-year-old American Bison, who weighs 700 pounds, also got to see Colorado's final win of the season. Hey-o. 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 Are you rooting for Dion?
Do they even know? Does the Buffalo even know what's happening?
No, that Buffalo is trying to rip the arms off of the guys that were shuttling her out there.
Yeah,
so,
that's why I groan, because I don't think they care. But it is pretty funny to see that damn thing there. Well, it's probably the most notable college football mascot, for sure.
What about the Bulldog in Georgia? I got 13. I got 90.
You can control a Bulldog. You can't really control a Buffalo on it breaks things.
I know. And Colorado's terrible, which is fun.
Also true.
And we don't have to hear about Dion, which is nice. Baker Mayfield said his game-winning drive over the Jets was personal because Jets defensive coordinator Steve Wilkes was the one who cut him from the Carolina Panthers in 2022. I get that guys like Baker use every slight for fuel, but I also feel like he should probably be thanking anybody that helped him get out of Carolina. Am I right?
I don't know. Maybe?
Is he in a better place now on the Bucs than he would have been if he stayed with the Carolina Panthers?
Of course. But
okay,
I look at
that's
it as
my point.
Would you rather be in the NFL with the Panthers or out of the NFL? Like, buddy, you are almost done.
What did Marcus Mariota do when he was with the Falcons and things were going poorly?
He said, you know what? I'm going to take my $8 million as a backup and I'm going to go sit anywhere else. I'm good.
He literally walked out. He said, arrivederci, boys. I'm out of here. And what did he do this weekend?
He killed it.
Got a W.
Yeah, got a W.
The SEC admitted that officials erred by not penalizing Oklahoma for using an unfair substitution hideout tactic that led to a touchdown against Auburn. They also said that they would feel bad if they missed the call against anyone besides Auburn.
Okay, I'm laughing at that one. You don't even laugh for that. That's good. Yeah, Oregon fans hate Auburn. It's pretty funny.
And, everybody hates Auburn except for Auburn fans and half of the Auburn fans. So
that one still stings in me. That last second field goal in what 2014? What it was like that? I have nightmares about that college football championship.
Sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. At least you're a Mariners fan, so you don't have any nightmares to relive with their seasons.
People always ask me if I like to be tortured. Just in general, not even as a sports fan. And I'm like, I guess I do.
It feels like you probably do. Yeah. Finally, in case you missed it, San Diego Padres outfielder Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a home run immediately after being heckled when the heckler referenced his PED suspension in the past, helping secure a 3-2 victory over the White Sox. He said, "Heckle that!" But more importantly, he also was able to sneak in clean pee for his post-game pee test.
Players still doing that? Players still?
If somebody gets popped for PEDs, do you assume they're like, "Oh, I learned my lesson, and I'm done"?
What's the excuse that they always get? The one that Tatis Jr. gave as well, that they got a wrong prescription from a doctor?
Somebody
like
gave
that?
Me the wrong stuff, like, or I didn't check for the ingredients. I was using it for a perfectly legitimate reason, and somehow it turns out that there was a horse steroid in there. Who knew? Who knew?
I do like him getting over on that heckler. It's like that Jose Bautista clip from God knows when on social media where people were giving him crap for his batting average. He's like, "Yo, my checking account bigger than yours, buddy." And it's like face. So don't give them too much crap because they will eat you alive.
Yeah, I've always found that if you feel like you need to heckle somebody, just give them a ridiculous compliment and it confuses them. Just compliment them for something else. Just, you know, it's like, there was a player in Texas, and we just kept complimenting the way that his batting gloves held out of the back of his pants. And it was like, you know, we kept just complimenting, and he just turned around. He's like, "What is wrong with you guys?" And we're just yelling absurd compliments to him, and he had no idea what to do with it. And then he missed a pop fly in right field.
There you go.
Worked out perfect, perfectly
great.
You're
a genius, bro.
Yeah. Well, there was a Odyssey, well, it was Entercom, but there was an Entercom softball team. And very famously, this guy comes up to bat, and he was the only one on the other team not wearing their jersey that everybody bought, the t-shirt jersey.
Just a guy off the street?
A buddy of somebody that they needed. And
a ringer.
It was a playoff game, sure. And he shows up, and I was playing first base because I'd already pulled my hamstring, because that's what you do when you're a middle-aged softball player that plays, you know, with maximum effort, like for 1 second a game.
The goal is to go have a few pops. It's not to hit a home run, okay?
No, but every once in a while you hit like a high chopper and you're like, "I could run this out," and then pop, there goes your hamstring. And turns out you're moving from shortstop to first base for the rest of the game because you can barely move. So I'm at first base. I can't move. This guy comes up, and he clearly looks ready to go. So I said, "Hey, everybody, you need to back up." He's wearing matching dry fit head to toe. He looks great. I'm confident that that will lead to great play. And this guy just looked at me like, "What?" I go, "Take a look. Everything matches, the black, the white, the logo." And so I see complimenting his outfit. So clearly that will lead to – the guy almost struck out.
I love
it. He was so flustered that he – almost whiffed 3 times in a row. It was fantastic.
He was probably embarrassed that he put the eye black on leaving the house. It's like, "Oh, I'm matching
maybe
everything.
I did it a little bit too much." It was just fantastic. He had the black hat, the dry fit top, the Nike dry fit shorts, the shoes, everything was black and white. Just clowned him on that.
You mean what fantastic. I'm wearing in Mariners gear right now? Basically the same.
You
outfit.
Look great. You Thanks, look bro. Ready to do a show. With that, we move to the Daily Buzz on Happy Hour on 105.1.
Top headlines, trending topics, and trivial matters that got our attention. It's the Daily Buzz on the Fan Happy Hour.
The Buzz.
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 Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
Oh, hey!
Mariners sweep the series against the Astros Friday night. It is 4 solo shots that get the job done. Starts off with Julio Rodriguez in the first inning. You get one from Josh Naylor. You get from Gino Suarez. And you get the first of the year from Victor Robles. Mm-hmm. You move to Saturday night. They do things in a little different way. But the Mariners still get the victory 6-4. They are manufacturing runs in game 2. They have a 6-0 lead. They give up a grand slam with a bullpen that got a little more work than you wanted because Brian Wu left early in the game with a pec strain. We still don't know.
That was
what's...
on Friday, actually.
So I know.
Was, yeah, Kirby yeah, Saturday.
Yes. So they got more work on Friday when Wu left early because Wu, he goes 6 innings at least. So then you have the same guys coming in on Saturday that came in on Friday. So you have a bullpen that's a little beat up. They give up 4 runs, but Victor Robles with the catch of the year?
The catch of Mariners franchise history, possibly. I'm going to lean that far into it.
Ooh. I will tell you, the interview with Cal Raleigh after the game, He said that he's just watching Julio. So the ball is hit into the right center gap. And Julio Rodriguez, you may or may not know this, plays center field. He's also very good at center field. So Cal says he is watching Julio. And as the ball appears to be getting close to the ground, Julio lets up and Cal goes, ah, I guess we're not catching this one. And almost exactly the same thing happens to all the viewers at home because the camera is fixed just on Julio. And then all of a sudden, the pink arms of Victor Robles come diving in from the right side of the frame. And he makes a full out Superman catch to get the second out in the bottom of the ninth. He tosses the ball to second because everybody's going for the Astros, tosses it to second, and they get the second out or the third out, and the game is over on what is an absolutely amazing diving catch. And then yesterday they do it again. Mariners 7-3, and they were getting all their runs in the second, and they were manufacturing them in a different way. The inning starts off with Josh Naylor, who goes out and bunts his way on.
It was great.
They load the bases. The one guy that didn't really have a lot of contribution on the offensive side in the first couple games of the series, J.P. Crawford, puts it into the bleachers in right field for a grand slam. Cal Raleigh adds on with his 58th home run of the season. The whole thing was absolutely fantastic. It was so much fun to watch, and every inning was full of this drama, this intrigue, and the Mariners sweep the Astros, which we absolutely love. So where does that put everybody after the weekend? The Mariners now have a 3-game lead on the division, which is actually a 4-game lead because they hold the tiebreaker over the Astros.
Oh, thank God.
If you look at the overall league standings, they have, because of the Tigers not being able to win baseball games, you have a 2-game lead over the Detroit Tigers for the second division spot. So that means you would right now have a bye in the postseason. And that is actually a 3-game lead because they have the tiebreaker over the Tigers as well. Now, tomorrow, almost everybody in baseball has a day off today. There is not a lot of games being played. The Nationals at the Braves, the Brewers at the Padres, the Cardinals at the Giants. There is some meaning for all of those games in different capacities for the National League, but with Washington at Atlanta, not a big thing. Brewers have already secured a playoff spot and the division, but the Padres still playing for the National League West. Cardinals and Giants out of it. So that's what you got. You have one game out of three that matters today. Tomorrow, the series starts between Detroit and Cleveland.
Oh, that's a big one.
If Cleveland comes back in this and wins this series, I believe they already have the tiebreaker. I was looking at this with Patrick Harris this morning, but they would win the season series and complete the biggest comeback in the history of baseball. A July 8th, 15.5 game deficit would have been erased.
The Tigers are doing exactly the opposite of what they did last year, where they were surging at the right time.
Yeah.
They are literally free-falling into a cellar.
It is the exact opposite of what they did last year, and you have Tarek Skubal going out in game one of the series. So, listen, if you're going to have a chance, go with your potential Cy Young. Tomorrow, the Mariners will be hosting the Colorado Rockies.
I will be there, actually.
They are the worst team, not just in baseball this year, but in baseball maybe ever.
And their pitchers suck. I know they're not in Colorado where you give up home runs basically off of a bunt. But
you should get some help from T-Mobile, except for the Mariners seem to have a lineup that can hit in T-Mobile.
They've actually, well, like Naylor since he got
Naylor's
here.
Naylor's been great, and I don't care what he costs, sign him. He is a non-power-hitting first baseman. What can it cost you? $25 million a year?
Yeah, Christian Walker got a 3-year, $20 million
Sure.
So 20 million dollars a year, 3 years.
4 years, 80 million. Take it.
Yeah, yeah.
Four years, absolutely. 88 million. Take it. Just whatever it costs. Do not let that guy leave Seattle, please.
Well, it's really quickly worth pointing out, Luke, that the Mariners, according to FanGraphs, I mean, as you said, the division is almost sewn up. It's technically a 4-game lead, but really a 3-game lead. According to FanGraphs, a 19% chance to win the World Series, which, if you look at all the other teams, that is the highest probability of anyone in Major League Baseball. Of course, this is just statistics and simulations, but FanGraphs think the Mariners have the best chance to win it all. And with this lineup, man, Even if Suarez is going 0 for 20, that's the thing that the
Went 0 for 33 before hitting his two-run shot in the only game they've lost in the last 15.
And exactly. And even if he's hitting 0 for 30 or whatever it is, just his presence in the lineup gives the Mariners something to protect Cal Raleigh, Julio Rodriguez with. It's just, it's a 1 through 7 lineup that they have not had in years.
No, I will correct you right there, my friend. It's 1 through 9. J.P. Crawford.
J.P., you're
right. J.P. is your 9 hitter. Dom Canzone is your DH sitting in the 7th or 8th spots. Victor Robles, who has not had a lot of at-bats this year, is a menace on the base paths if he gets on, like running out singles and doing everything that he can to be a menace. And this is a 1 through 9 lineup.
Well, Polanco now slipping to second base because he's healthy again, can play in the field. He was the early season DH.
Let's go!
Yeah, it literally opens up that option for who do I want in the lineup today? Is it Canzone? Is it Rivas? I don't know. Like, they have options, and I would say that the top two guys off their bench right now are even hot in Leo Rivas. You have
a game-winning
hit. And either Canzone or Robles.
Well, you have a game-winning hit in this 14 of 15 that they have won. You have a game-winning hit from JP. You have a game-winning hit from little Leo Rivas. You have a game-winning hit from Harry Ford. You've got game-winning hits from just about everybody, expected or unexpected. Julio, in two of the last three games, scored in the first inning.
Do you know that Julio is third overall in MLB for hits? Like, I know he's been doing well lately, but
his second half is absolutely ridiculous. The September that Jorge Polanco is putting together is insane. You have 11 home runs from Suarez after the trade deadline when he moved to Seattle. There's more than anybody that is traded in baseball. Oh, and by the way, as my 19th bullet point on how good this series was, your catcher has 58 home runs.
Yeah.
More than Griffey, more than Mickey Mantle, more than any catcher in the history of baseball by 10!
And he's within striking distance.
He has six games left to get to 60.
Yeah.
He could get to 62 or 63, and you would not be insane.
No, well, that is my dream scenario. Cal getting to 63. Being the actual record holder.
Whatever the number is, he is your Seattle Mariners record holder all time, and they had a guy named Ken Griffey Jr. on the roster. No switch hitter. He passed Mickey freaking Mantle. For the best switch hitter ever. He passed Johnny Bench and Salvador Perez, who will be a Hall of Famer. And you have all of these guys that they have passed. And I asked the Mariners one simple thing, maybe the first day that we started this show.
Yeah.
If Cal is going to continue what he is doing, the team cannot have it all be for naught. And right now, if they have the highest odds to win the World Series and whatever it is, and I've said enough emphatic statements on this show that I don't think I can jinx these Mariners, and I know that they've got a lot of history of it, but I cannot help but be optimistic about this and going into the playoffs. I don't know what it's going to cost me, but if they make it to the World Series, I will be out a lot of money to go and watch them in T-Mobile, and it will be awesome.
I will have a beer with you. I don't know what it's going to cost, but I'm going to.
I might have my back against the wall, and I will have overpaid
for it, but only.
I am okay with all of that. What a weekend for the Mariners. I was going to get to the Seahawks, who also just kicked the hell out of the Saints. I was going to get to all the injuries for the 49ers. The buzz is all good news, but we've filled all our time with the Mariners. So I cede to you, sir, as we walk over to the George McCoy at Warren Allen Sports Desk.
It's Monday on the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. This is the Tape Don't Lie. Where Luke answers for the dumbest things he said last week.
Wasn't he the white Jordan?
He is black.
Good luck, man.
Thank you. I'm a genius.
I've got bad news for Seahawks fans.
Oh, no.
And I think it's okay news for anybody that picked the Seahawks this weekend. I took a glance at our Take Your Pick standings.
Mm-hmm.
There's one team that was picked by every single entry on the pick.
Really?
Only one game was 100%.
Seahawks Saints?
Never a good thing. As a Seahawks fan, if everybody picks one team, that team loses. That's one thing that I know to be true.
Luke, that was you last Friday reluctantly telling listeners, your Seahawks this weekend were doomed to lose to the Saints. You could not have been More wrong, sir. What was it? A 44-13 beatdown? My God. So, you want to revise your theory on if everyone goes one way, your team is doomed? Is like the pro money on like one or the smart money on one team? So you just say, oh, ignore it, go to the other?
I have seen it happen so many times where you get confidence. I underestimated how bad the Saints were. They played pretty well against the Cardinals and against the 49ers. At least it looked that way. But the problem is, I've kind of hallucinated into thinking that the Cardinals winning their first two games is because they're good at football. And I may have overlooked the fact that Mac Jones was playing quarterback for the Niners when they beat the Saints. Holy cow. I think everybody learned that there's another Harbaugh out there this weekend. Jay Harbaugh is a hero being lifted on everybody's shoulders. I said that the worst team in football is going to be the Dolphins. I may need to revise that and point to Kellen Moore and the Aints.
Well, that was a hot take. This one, even hotter.
Oh, boy.
My God.
So if you are a Bears fan, congratulations. You picked the wrong quarterback, followed up by picking the wrong head coach. Again.
I'm kind of with you on this one. I actually bet the Cowboys in this game, Luke. But you took 7 freaking minutes of last Thursday's show to dump on the Chicago Bears, their new head coach in Ben Johnson, and, of course, their quarterback in Caleb Wilson. Or Caleb Wilson, sorry. Caleb Williams, my apologies.
Oh, they snuck in a different Caleb. That's what it was.
It's Russell Wilson, not Caleb. No, I got Russell Wilson on the brain. My apologies. Caleb Williams. Would you like to apologize to the Bears fans?
No, I'd like to apologize to Cowboys fans. Holy cow. What happened there? Okay. Cowboys fans, I'm watching the highlight of that flea flicker. That was the most obvious flea flicker I think I've ever seen. It wasn't even a good pitch. It just floats up there forever. And everybody's trying to tackle the guy who's clearly stopping and just wide open. I think the Cowboys made the Bears look very good in yesterday's game. Now, my brother is a Bears fan, so this is why I am hesitant to apologize. But you saw signs of life from the Bears, who got murdered by the Lions, and we'll see what the Lions do tonight against the Ravens. But I will apologize a little bit. I did see more potential in that victory. Caleb Williams looked competent. I have not seen any dumb quotes from Ben Johnson so far today. There was a slew of them last week, which got me all hot and bothered to begin with. But after a victory, being quiet is probably a good thing. So I will reserve judgment on the Bears for now.
They say, apology not accepted. F you, Luke.
Yeah, I believe
I'm hearing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you are partly a Bears fan, too.
Hey, I'm an NFL Schultzy. Fan.
Oh, shut up.
Locked in. All right.
I'm going to say, yes, the Raiders bounce back with Pete Carroll, with Geno, who is, I know he's hot and cold. If he was just cold, chances are he can get hot again. So I will say, a very reluctant, only because of injury, yes, the Raiders bounce back.
All right. You know what? I think you were actually kind of close on this one, Luke. That was you last Thursday picking against Marcus Mariota in favor of the Raiders and Geno Smith and Pete Carroll and Ashton Jante. Even though you sounded reluctant, how dare you? Did you see the Washington Commanders continuing to win games with or without Jaden Daniels? Tell me what you see for them, because I don't know. I thought Geno had a decent day for the Raiders, but my God, it was, I don't know. It wasn't that great of a day on offense for the Commanders unless it was the run game. I don't know what to expect.
The last 2 weeks of Geno Smith has really shown Seattle Seahawks fans what they're missing or not missing, not having Geno there. Last week, 3 picks that were terrible.
Yeah.
Looked like bad decisions combined with bad throws, and it was, we'll say, not great. This week, it was 5 sacks for a loss of 28 yards. So it's the bad sack, it's the bad picks, it's the timing of all of those things. Your percentage of a scoring drive being successful drops to something like 7% on a drive where you get sacked.
Yeesh.
And Geno, just, buddy, get out of the way. Throw the ball away. Do something. But he's so gun-shy about throwing a ball away this week because he threw so many picks last week that it just got awful. So I don't know that that was as much about the Commanders as it was about the Raiders. But if you have competent quarterback play and you've got a good team around him, Marcus Mariota is in a much better spot than he was in Atlanta a couple weeks ago or a couple years ago. So I think that, yes, they can function with it. And if they play well and get Jaden Daniels back, he is an X factor. I'd pick the Commanders to be bad this year, but they are okay so far.
As much as I want to say the Panthers are going to be terrible all year, Bryce Young showing signs of improvement and showing the possibility that they'll probably win some games this year, just not this week against the Falcons.
So pulling a John Sterling here and just being like, I could see him winning this game. I could see him losing this game.
No, I see them losing this game.
Okay.
I see Bryce Young getting planted into the turf by the defensive line. But at some point, just get ready. I will pick the Panthers probably to win a game. And
oh, wow. Luke, I can't say that that was a bad take, but yeah, Bryce Young and the Panthers ended up torching the Falcons 30-0. We saw Kirk Cousins. That was you, though, actually taking, I would say, the hard road to pick the Panthers. So congratulations on you.
Oh, how about that?
Bryce Young and co. in New England next Sunday. Do you have the huevos to pick the Panthers over the Patriots, sir?
I mean, it wasn't a huge Bryce Young game. 16 of 24.
I don't know anybody else on the Patriots, though, other than, like, what, Xavier, like, Leggett? You know, like,
oh, yeah, no.
That's about it.
The Patriots are not, these are two teams that have a lot of ground to make up between being a meh team and being an actual contender. So I think that is an interesting game, but I'm kind of looking at how the Panthers won this game. And just by looking at the box score, nothing's jumping off the page about their offense. They had 200 yards total offense. So I'm not ready to pick them against a team outside of their division. They do get the Saints twice, so that's probably where I'll end up picking the Panthers for a lock to win a game. I'll say the Patriots still beat the Panthers.
Speaking of picking games and Rufio, it can get a little bit heated tonight. There is a three-way tie at the top. Two previous winners, a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Cyrus and Rufio all have 13 wins so far in our little pick'em.
Oh, wow.
So it will be settled tonight. I believe Rufio is the only one that picked the Texans tonight.
Lukester, that was you just straight up lying
to
listeners, but specifically Rufio. What do you have to say for yourself, brother?
I told him I would dig it up and see what I said. And on Monday, I did say that he needed the Texans. He needed the Buccaneers. Everybody else had the Texans. And he just believed me. I mean, that's kind of on him. I was pretty cautious about how I said that.
You're the radio host. You're authoritative. We're supposed to believe you.
Did I sound authoritative when I said that? So I will take the loss. I was wrong. But he should have. He has access to the picks that he actually made. So when he heard me say, I think I was wrong. So I admit that. That's as far as I will go. All right. You want to do one more for the road?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll do it next. It is Happy Hour on The Fan and The Fan Sports Network.
Relax, hot shot.
Welcome back to The Fan Happy Hour. We're about to wrap things up.
Maybe you guys like what I have so far.
Wicked woman, cool creams, and mysteries. You got a cool spell on me.
Let's grab one more for the road.
Come on, everybody. Everything's smooth.
Here's Luke Anderson.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Final segment, Mr. Schultz. What are people saying on the text line? What are they saying on the YouTube chats? Anything I need to know about?
Yes, sir. Actually, a couple of good ones. One on the YouTube, Joel says, I saw Jerry DePoto getting food in the Diamond Club in Kansas City before the game last Thursday. I told him to extend Naylor. You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And then another
I'd love to be there when he's reacting. He's like, duh.
Yeah, like, I'll try, bro. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like, can I get...
I hadn't even considered that.
Can I get my crab legs, bro? Like, I get you're like the thousandth person to
I hope
tell
they're not doing crab legs in Kansas City. You got to be getting barbecued. Don't be stupid.
I know, right? Okay. That's so funny. And then another text coming in. It says, man, my Raiders shaking my head. Our O-line just atrocious. Carroll's son needs the boot. We need to get someone to boost this O-line, but go Raiders forever. And that's actually one thing I wanted to respond to you with about Geno getting sacked five times. I go back and watch those highlights. It looks like the offensive line had a lot of onus on that.
Oh, I understand. It's just one of those things that we saw a lot. Would you care to guess how many sacks there were? Like, so on average, Russell Wilson at the end of his tenure, during Geno's tenure, between 40 and 50 sacks a year for Seattle quarterbacks.
Okay.
Do you know how many times Sam Darnold's been sacked so far this year in three games?
What, like twice?
Three. Three times. He's on pace to be sacked 17 times.
Well, they have Abel in a better line.
I understand all that, but he's also getting the ball out almost a full second faster than he was in Minnesota last year, which is one of the tenets of this offense, handing the ball off more. They didn't have to throw the ball a whole lot in the second half yesterday, so that, of course, makes it easier. There are a lot of things, but one of the frustrating things is watching your quarterback run backwards and getting sacked. I mean, he totaled 28 yards in lost yardage on sacks yesterday. So if he got sacked five times, that's, you know, you're averaging, what, 5.5 yards per sack.
Yeah, Caleb Williams had that problem last year. It seems like other quarterbacks watched his film and started doing that. It's odd.
Holding on to the ball. Not a good thing if you're a quarterback. All right, let's
swing for the road.
Monday night football tonight. Lions had an offensive explosion last week, 511 yards and a 52-21 win over Chicago. Jared Goff threw 5 touchdown passes. Isaac Tesla is my favorite wide receiver in football now.
Cool,
this
man.
This is also the third round pick that showed up in his own custom Lions jersey to his tryout.
Let's go.
So he shows up. He's a local kid, much like Aiden Hutchinson, except for he was not a first overall pick. So he shows up and he's like, I'm ready to go. He's made 2 spectacular one-handed catches already, made the team with no trouble. So he's one of my favorite players. But here's what you need to know. The Ravens are 22-3 in home primetime games under John Harbaugh, and they have won 5 straight Monday night games. I've already picked Baltimore. You didn't fill out your pick in the pick'em. Schulte, who you got?
Tonight, I've got to go Baltimore. I think they'll cover at home, but I mean, anything could happen, right? It's only a 4.5-point line, which makes me think it's a trap line.
I am just looking for an entertainment game.
For sure.
Like, these are two teams that are fun. I'd like to see them both standing at the end of the year. Detroit more than Baltimore, but let's just have a great game. Let's have a good cap to a fantastic weekend.
I want to see Lamar win one. Honestly, I really do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I'd like to see Josh Allen win one before Lamar Jackson if I had to pick an AFC quarterback that hasn't gotten to the mountaintop.
Nah, I disagree.
All right, that's fine.
You're allowed to disagree.
Josh
Allen's great.
Except for it's my show, so shut up!
Damn it. Okay. Good to see you, though.
Thank you, Jordan Schulte, for filling in for Mr. Russ. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And as always, thank you, Isaac Rob. We're done. For now. Bye-bye.